In this church have been to Haiti to see the amazing work that Reach Haiti is doing, reaching the country there. They have opportunities, as you just saw, to support either one of the kids in their orphanage through a monthly pledge, or you can do a one-time gift. You can help them plant churches throughout Haiti, which they're trying to do. They're simple churches. There's a number of areas that you can help. And at Christmas time, you know, we're giving gifts to everybody around us, but one of these gifts will probably make a bigger impact than anything you could possibly give elsewhere. So I encourage you to check out the table in the lobby after the service. One of the questions that I often get is, you know, why can't I understand what God is doing in my life? It seemed like God was blessing me before, but now he isn't. It seemed like God was answering my prayers before, but now he isn't. Things used to be easy, now they're hard. Why is this happening? What is God doing? And people want to know, is there some kind of secret to understanding what God is doing in my life? Well, if there is any secret, it can be captured in one word. Seasons. Seasons. All of us in this room are in different seasons of our life. Should be obvious. Some of us are new parents. Some of us are becoming empty nesters. Some of us have just started a new job. Others of us are getting ready to retire. Some of you are dating. Some are, you know, divorced. Some are newly married. Some are working on 40 years of marriage. Some of you are new followers of Christ. Some of you aren't even sure that you are a follower of Christ. Some of you are back in church after a long time. Some of you are leaders here. We're all in different seasons. And in fact, has anybody ever told you, just enjoy the season that you're in? Usually it's somebody who's older or farther along than you, and they've already been through the season that they're talking to you about. And, you know, maybe their kids are grown and yours are still rugrats, you know, and they say, just enjoy this season while you have them. And of course, you want to respond, well, that's easy for you to say. You don't have two little terrorists at home who are making messes constantly and you know, and changing diapers. I'm exhausted all the time. I haven't been on a date in 3 years. And you know, it's easy for you to say enjoy it, you know. We're entering the Christmas season. And so I want to talk today about seasons. And in fact, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to try and discover some secrets about the seasons of our lives. If you have your Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, because Solomon here is talking about seasons. And if you haven't read it, Ecclesiastes is an interesting book. Some would say it's a little different from other books in the Bible. Scholars would say it is observational in nature. In other words, it's making observations about how life is. Not necessarily about how it should be, but how it is. So Solomon, who some say is the wisest man who ever lived, is writing not about how things ought to be, but how they are. And therefore, Solomon writes about seasons, because the way we experience life is through seasons. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, he says, "There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens." And then it lists a lot of different seasons, some that seem good to us and others that don't seem so good. And it applies that God brings different seasons into our lives, some that we wish we could stay in forever and some that we wish that we could just completely skip. And he says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And after listing all of these seasons, Solomon then says in verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. That's the key, in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Now, we may not be as smart as Solomon was, but we do have one advantage that he didn't have, because we have some of God's word that he didn't have. And if you look at the New Testament, Ephesians 1 verse 9, Paul says this, God made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So Paul is describing God's ultimate purpose, to bring everything in heaven and on earth under the rule of Christ. So Ecclesiastes is talking about how it's often difficult to figure out the purpose of the seasons in our lives, but Paul comes along a little later and he says that now that Christ has been born and lived and died for us and was raised from the dead, we can now know the purpose of God in every season. The ultimate purpose is to bring everything under the rule of Christ in heaven and earth. And that means that the seasons of your life are not an accident. There is a divine timing to all of this. And if we can understand it, it helps us to live a lot better, because there are times and seasons to your life. Look at Daniel 2:20. Daniel prayed, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons." So God changes the times and seasons of your life. Whether you realize it or not, God schedules every season of your life. But he doesn't post the schedule so we can see it. And that's why living is sometimes so hard. That's why Solomon says, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Nobody can really see the big picture except for God. Nobody can really understand all the seasons that you go through except for God. And Paul says that from eternity, God has a purpose that's been working in your life. Your destiny was created in eternity, and God has a plan for it all, but your life is experienced in seasons. Everything that God wanted to do through your life was decided before your life ever began, but you don't experience everything that God intends for your life all at once. You experience it in phases and seasons. Now, here's my problem. I always want to skip to the next season. You ever felt like that? You know, I struggle because whatever season I'm in at the time doesn't happen to feel like the season that I want to be in. You know, it doesn't seem like I'm where I want to be yet, and I can't wait to get to the next season. And I realize I've been doing this my whole life. You know, like when I was in fifth grade, I couldn't wait to get to middle school because the kids there were older and seemed cool, you know. And when I was in eighth grade, I wanted to get to high school so I could do the sports there. And then I couldn't wait to get my driver's license. I couldn't wait to finish high school. I couldn't wait to start college. I couldn't wait to finish college. I couldn't wait to start flight school. I couldn't wait to finish that, you know. And everything I was doing, I couldn't wait for the next thing. You know, I couldn't wait for it to be over so I could get to the next season in my life. And then I realized that I'm still doing that today. You know, I couldn't wait till my kids finish college because I was paying some hefty college bills and I didn't want to do that anymore. And, you know, so I couldn't wait for that to be over. And then I realized, no, I can't wait till I have some grandkids. You know, it just never ends. We're always waiting to get to the next season because the next season always looks better, like the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. You know, it looks better than the one I'm in. Now, here's the lesson from all this. Every season has struggles that you can't see from the outside looking in. And what God wants to do today is to set us free from trying to live in somebody else's season. Now, maybe you wouldn't admit this, but there's a part of you that looks at other people and the season that they're in and the success that they have and the place in life that they've arrived, and you're thinking, if I could just get there, then I'd be content. But let me tell you a spiritual secret about seasons. Every season has a struggle that you can't see or know until you're in it. And if you get this truth deep down, then it will set you free from envy. And it'll set you free from always wanting to copy somebody else's circumstance. There is a struggle in every circumstance. The problem is, when we look at other people's lives, we only see how high the tree grows. We don't see how deep the roots are planted. We only see the fruit of what somebody has. We don't see the fight they went through to get there. You observe somebody else's season, kind of like a visitor looking from the outside, and it looks nice, but it's different when you live there. You ever visited somewhere that was great to visit, but you wouldn't want to live there? Kathy and I have an island in the Caribbean that we love to visit. It's called Bonaire. It has some of the best scuba diving around. It's a beautiful island. It's not as crowded as some of the other Caribbean islands, and so we love to visit. In fact, it seems like it would be the perfect place to live if you could only afford it. The last time we were there, we were talking to a taxi driver who lived on the island, and he was telling us that a lot of the people there that live there year-round are unhappy with the direction that things are going. In fact, while we were there, there was a strike going on with some protests against the political leaders, and they had picket signs, and the driver told us that gas costs $12 a gallon there, and many of the other things in the island are incredibly expensive. You know, it looks great when you're a visitor, but it's different if you live there. And that's just like the seasons of our lives. We see people in different seasons than us, and it looks great. But it's different if you live there. We don't see the struggles going on in their lives. There's a struggle in every season, and the sooner we realize it, the sooner we're set free to enjoy the season that we're in. Every season has a struggle, even when we can't see it from the outside. One of the most struggle-free periods of my life, at least to an outside observer, was the first 10 years after we planted this church. And it was growing 10 to 20% every year. We were doing tons of ministry, having a huge impact. We started Serve City and the homeless shelter in Hamilton. We had all kinds of success with that. And I was president of the Ministers Association in Hamilton, and I sat on a bunch of nonprofit boards. I was president of three of them, and I became the area pastor overseeing about 15 different vineyards in this area. And my pastor friends would call me for advice, you know, how are you doing what you're doing in your church? And in fact, I was doing seminars in a four-state area for vineyard churches on how to grow a healthy church. You know, it seemed like everything was going wonderful, even in the non-church stuff. You know, I was a Little League coach for my boys' teams for 7 years, and I never had a losing season. In fact, my final season of coaching, we went undefeated the whole season. You know, it's like everything I did went well during that season. Now, I'm not in that season anymore. You know, sometimes I wish I was, but you know, we have different seasons in our lives. But you know, the interesting part is that right in the middle of that season, one summer, I got burned out and depressed and angry at everybody around me. And I had no idea why this happened, because I had never been depressed a day in my life up to that time. I just had no clue, why in the world is this happening to me? Why am I burned out? You know, everything is going well. What in the world is happening? I hadn't realized the pressure that can come with success. I hadn't realized that, you know, when you're successful, everybody wants a piece of your life. Everybody wants you to help them when they have problems. If you have a church with hundreds of people, then you have hundreds of problems. And I just took on more and more pressure and stress until I burned out. And that's one reason that now I delegate a whole lot more, and I quit a couple of those nonprofit boards, and I take regular vacations now, and you know, I don't want to burn out again. But it's easy to look at somebody from the outside, and on the surface it looks like everything in their life is going wonderful, is going great, and you just wish that you lived in their situation. But then you might find out that they're living on the edge of burnout. Every season has a struggle. Now, maybe you'd say, well, Ken, I can't relate to that because I'm not a pastor. Let me tell you about the person that you want to be. The person that you think, you know, if you could just be in their shoes, you would just love that. There's some stuff that you can't see that makes them who they are. There's struggles in their season just like you have struggles in yours. And I'll prove it to you, married folks, because there was a day when you thought, if I could just get married,
Well, you're married now, and there's still struggles, aren't there? And things are not perfect, and there's still lonely times, you know, and there's a struggle in every season. And that's what Solomon talks about all through the book of Ecclesiastes. He tells us, I wasn't content in my season, so I tried all these different things. I tried piling up wealth, but then I just had to worry about, you know, protecting and caring for the wealth that I created. And he says, I tried pleasure, but guess what? There was a hangover every next morning. And I tried wisdom, and he says, you know, there are so many books, you'll wear yourself out trying to read all of them. And so he's tried all these different things, and can you believe that Solomon had struggles in the seasons of his life? I mean, he's the wealthiest guy around. He could have any beautiful woman he wanted. He had unlimited power, and he struggled. It's like no matter how great the success, there's always an asterisk. Now, you sports fans know what I'm talking about with an asterisk. Like with Babe Ruth's home run record, you know, some of you know that Babe Ruth for decades and decades held the record for most home runs in a season with 60. And then Roger Maris came along and broke the record with 61 home runs. But the thing is, Roger Maris's season had 8 more games than Babe Ruth's, and without those extra 8 games, Roger Maris wouldn't have broken the record. And so many people put an asterisk by that record of Roger Maris's. And then, you know, Mark McGwire broke the record too, but, you know, then he admitted to using steroids, so there's another asterisk. And then Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds came along and they broke it, but they were suspected of using steroids too. So there's all kinds of asterisks next to that record. And the point is, there's an asterisk because there's always circumstances that aren't apparent on the surface. There's always circumstances, and you need to realize when you look at other people's lives and you see what other people have and you see what they've accomplished that you haven't, there's always an asterisk. There's always circumstances. When you look at them, you compare yourself with them, and it can make you feel worthless, and it can make you feel like you don't measure up, and it can make you feel like, you know, you should have been farther along than you are by now. And what you don't realize is the person who may seem to be ahead of you in the race might have lost their wife and kids and health in the process of trying to get there. There's always circumstances. There's always an asterisk that you don't know about. And so you need to understand and find happiness in the purpose of your season. Because your season does have a purpose, even though there's a struggle in it. Before time even began, God made plans and purposes for your life. And if you understand the season you're in, then there is a satisfaction and a contentment that knows that I might not have all they have, but that's all right because I'm not called to do what they're called to be or to do, and I'm not trying to be who they are. And so I am going to stand for God in my season, and I'm going to glorify God in my season. I'm going to use the time that I have left and the gifts that I've been given, and I'm going to rejoice in my season and yield fruit in my season. And so the first truth about seasons is that every season is a struggle that you can't see till you're in it. Now, the second thing to learn about seasons is that every season is shaped by what you say. Every season is shaped by what you say. We're going to talk later in this series about how you can prolong a miserable season by your disobedience. The classic example of that is the people of Israel who left Egypt, and then they turned what should have been a couple-week journey into 40 years of wandering in the desert because of their disobedience. Sometimes you can leave your season simply by deciding to do what God told you to do in the first place. But there are some seasons where you're waiting on God to change that season, but it's not the right time yet for the next season. And so you simply have to trust God and endure. But even though you can't control the season that you're going through, you can control what you say about your season. Let me show you what I mean. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, Solomon says that God has made everything beautiful in its time. What separates those who walk by faith from those who are just kind of wandering through life is what they choose to call the season that they're in. Do they call it based on faith and trust in God? Do they believe God can make something beautiful of it? Or do they call their season based on doubt and cynicism? Let me ask you a question. What are you saying about your current season? What are you calling your current season? Because the truth is, what you say about your season determines how you will experience that season. In fact, your season will take on the characteristics of your description of that season. Say you choose to call your season beautiful, despite the struggles in it, then it will become beautiful in your eyes because you're able to recognize that it's in God's time and God makes everything beautiful in its time. I'll give you an example. Without a doubt, the most difficult and miserable year of my life was when I was a freshman at the Naval Academy. Of course, they don't call you a freshman, they call you a plebe. And from the moment you show up in early July until the next June, the goal of the Naval Academy was to make your life as miserable as possible by putting immense amounts of pressure and stress on you to the point that it will either change your life or you will quit. That's really the goal. It was designed to be the most miserable year of your life, and for me it definitely was. And in fact, out of the 30 plebes in my company that came in with me, half quit. But I didn't. And though I didn't see it at the time, I look back now and I recognize that season was beautiful in its time. And you say, well, Ken, why in the world would you think that's beautiful? It's because I was being shaped in ways and grown in ways that have blessed me the rest of my life to this point. And God was doing things in my life that would help me the rest of my life. That was a beautiful, miserable season for me. Now, I wouldn't want to do it a second time because I'm not in that season now. You know, God makes everything beautiful in its time. I'm not in that time anymore, but it was beautiful then. And if you can just begin to recognize what God is doing in you during the season that you're in, then you can start to recognize the beauty in it and recognize that even though sometimes it's painful, even though sometimes it's miserable, even though sometimes it's discouraging, God is using it in a way that will end up beautiful. Here's the thing, though. If you speak about your season as though it's overwhelming, it becomes overwhelming. Because the way you speak about your season shapes the way you experience your season. If you speak about your season like it's devastating, then it will become devastating because the way you speak about your season shapes the way you experience your season. The people of Israel left Egypt and they immediately started complaining and whining and saying, "This stinks, we want to go back to Egypt." And it shaped their next 40 years in the desert, of one bad attitude after another, one bad experience after another. And I remember when I was back in my plebe year, and all of us plebes were miserable. We all hated it. It was taken for granted. But I realized that many of the other plebes talked about it way different than I did. And I can't repeat some of the things they used to say, but basically it had to do with, "This place sucks, and we're getting a bad deal. We hate it here." And I remember that even as a 18-year-old without much wisdom, I refused to talk about it that way. You know, I would say, "Hey, you guys chose to come here. In fact, you had to get an appointment from your congressman in order to get in, and there's 1,000 guys who would love to take your place in a heartbeat, and you knew it was going to be tough before you ever came here. Get over it. Quit complaining. Quit whining. I mean, if you hate it so much, you could always quit." And half of them did. The way you speak about your season shapes the way you experience your season. I was miserable, just like they were, but I knew that that misery would pay off if I could only endure it. God makes everything beautiful
in its time. So even if you're in a miserable season right now, if you speak about your season like it's a time of growth, it opens your eyes to see the way God is growing you, thereby shaping the way you experience your season. And even if you're in a miserable season right now, if you speak about your season like it's an opportunity to build into other people or help other people, then it opens your eyes to see the people that God has put around you that you have influence over, and thereby shaping the way you experience your season. So the question is, what will you choose to say about the season that you're in? Will you speak about all the negative things, or will you stand with God and call it beautiful in His time? Because if you'll call it beautiful, then instead of only seeing the burden, you'll also see the beauty, and it will change the way you experience your season. Every season is shaped by the way you talk about it, and your attitude starts to align with the words you use. So if you're in an extremely busy season right now, which many of us, you know, being the Christmas season, we are, and all those responsibilities start to feel overwhelming, you can't control that season. You can't always make it less busy, but you can change the way you talk about it. Instead of saying, I am so maxed out and I'm overwhelmed, I can say, guess what? My life is full. Instead of saying, my to-do list just never gets done, you can say, I have a reason to get up tomorrow morning. Instead of saying, I'm overwhelmed dealing with my aging parents, I can say, I am so glad my mother or father is still alive so I can still have a relationship with them, even though it's difficult. What you say about your season will shape the way you experience your season. If you speak God's promises over your season, if you speak about God's faithfulness in your season, then He will open your eyes to see the beauty of it, because God makes everything beautiful in its time. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 1. Blessed are those who do not walk in step with wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on His law day and night. They are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. They're like a tree that yields its fruit in season. Why? Because that tree is planted by the water. It's planted and drawing in sustenance all the time. It's not wandering away. It's planted right there. You know how you go to a restaurant, they give you a pager, and as soon as your pager goes off and buzzes, then your table's ready, right? One time, they gave us the pager and told us it was going to be about 40 minutes, and I hate to wait, and so we kind of walked around to some different shops during the time. We came back after about 25 minutes, 30 minutes, something like that, and they said, oh, we already gave your table away. They said, we called you, we buzzed you, but you didn't come. And I said, well, my pager never went off. And they said, well, you must have been out of range. You must have been too far away. That's kind of like what happens when you get discontent in your season. You start wandering away from God's will because you think that the season you're in is just unbearable. And God says, I was calling for you. I prepared a table for you. I prepared some blessings for you. But when the right time came, I called for you and you didn't come. You're too far away. You didn't hear. And God is saying to some of you this morning, don't wander away. Stay close to me. Because when your time comes, when it's time for the blessing, you need to be close so you can hear it, so you won't miss your turn. Don't wander away. When your turn comes, you want to be ready for it. Don't miss it. Don't miss your turn. One more point this morning. Every season has a struggle. Every season is shaped by what you say. Third, every season has strengths that you can seize. And this is kind of the opposite of the first one. We said every season has a struggle you can't see, but every season also has strengths you can seize. If I think about another really difficult season in my life, there was a time when I was still working in corporate marketing, and General Electric had transferred me to Cincinnati, and And then a few years later, I took a different job in Chicago. And so Kathy and I put our house in the market, and we agreed that as soon as the house sold, that we'd buy a house in Chicago, she and the kids would move up and join me. But in the meantime, I was commuting. And so every Sunday night, I'd drive up to Chicago, stay during the week, and then come back on Friday night. Well, our plan was this would only last for a few weeks, but the house didn't sell. And it didn't sell, and it didn't sell. And 6 months later, I'm still commuting, and the house still hasn't sold, so I'm away from Kathy and our three kids for 5 out of every 7 days. It was a very difficult time for me and for her. But then it got worse, because the job in Chicago didn't turn out like I thought it would, and I didn't like it, and it wasn't a good fit for me. And so after 6 months there, I decided that I don't want to stay in this job. And so I started doing a job search back in the Cincinnati area. And so for 6 more months, I'm searching for a job while I'm still commuting up there during the week. And I'm in a job I don't like, doesn't fit me. I'm separated from my wife and kids during the week. It was a miserable year. It was a miserable season for me. But every season has a strength you can seize. You see, when I was living at home with three kids, I didn't have a whole lot of time to spend with God. Three young kids. But during that year of commuting, guess what? I suddenly had a lot more time. And in particular, I had about 10 hours a week while I was driving to and from Chicago, 5 hours each way. And I decided not to waste that time. So I did three things with those five-hour chunks of time. I had the Bible on cassette tape, and so I'd listen to that for a couple hours. I had worship music tape, so I'd just sing along and praise God for an hour or so, and then I'd turn the music off completely and just pray for another hour or so. I had a little pocket recorder, and so if I felt like God was speaking something to me, I'd speak it into that while I'm driving. And I had 10 hours of Bible and worship and prayer every weekend. And that doesn't even include the church time or my, time during with God each day. And let me tell you, I grew closer to God. I grew more with God during that year than any other year of my life, period. You see, God was preparing me. I had no clue about this. I had no plans to be a pastor at that point. But God was preparing me because he knew that only a couple years after that, I was to become the pastor of this church. And that year of commuting was a difficult, painful season, but in every season, there's a strength you can seize, and God makes everything beautiful in its time. And I can imagine God talked with his angels before this, and he's telling them, you see Ken there? He doesn't have a whole lot of time for me right now. He's pretty busy, and I really need to prepare him for something important, and I wonder how I can do that. And he says, I know, I have an idea. I know how I can get him to spend 10 hours with me every weekend, and it'll be beautiful, because God makes everything beautiful in his time. And if you will take the time, and if you will make the effort, you will be able to see the beautiful thing that God is doing in your season right now. You can't live in the season that was. And you can't make the next season come right now. But there is a strength in your season that you can seize. You can't live in somebody else's season. And so you have got to seize the strength in this season. You might not have what you want to have. You might not get what you want to get. But if you will plant your roots down deep in God's purpose for you, God makes everything beautiful in its time. Let's stand for prayer, and I'd like our worship band to come up for a closing song. And as we bow together, I'd like you to just think for a moment about the season that you're in right now. And now let's pray about that season. God, right now, we offer up to you this season of our life with all of the good things and all of the struggles. Would you help us to find contentment as we trust you and put our faith in you? Would you help us to not always be waiting for the next season or comparing ourselves with somebody else and wanting to be in their season? Instead, God, we trust your word that you make everything beautiful in its time. And we believe that even now you're using the struggles that we're dealing with to make something beautiful in our lives. Would you help us to speak about our situation with faith and belief, not with doubt or negativity? And help us to see the strength in our season that you want us to seize. And most of all, God, please help us to stay firmly planted next to you, like that tree planted by the stream that yields its fruit in season. We don't want to wander off. We don't want to miss our turn. When you bring along good things, when you prepare good things for us, we want to be right with you, right next to you, to hear it and to receive it. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.